Welcome back to another episode of Talkin' Moto. Today we got the Anaheim 1 recap to go over. I think I am going to do a little bit of some race-by-race type of deal. And then some big takeaways at the end. One of the big takeaways is going to be in the very beginning, because it deals with a big contender in the 250 class switching sides, switching coasts. Also, my cat is sitting here watching me record this, so there might be some random meows in the background that get heard. But he won't leave, so we're just doing it with him here. Hopefully he doesn't click any buttons on the computer. So yeah, starting off the day, Anaheim 1. Everybody's obviously super excited going into Anaheim 1. Not really knowing exactly what to expect from everybody else. Obviously, we all had our thoughts going in. 250 class, Deegan, Kitchen, get to relive that rivalry that we had in the outdoors last year. Minus Chance Hymus, obviously. 450s going in. It was, can Chase Sexton get a start and stay with Jet Lawrence? Be able to win more races this year? And, yeah, we got some answers. Sort of. Maybe a little bit more questions than answers on the 450 side. And then, you know, the time is, what is it? Table's still out or whatever on the 250 side. I guess 450 side as well. Time will tell. That's what I was trying to get at. I don't know where table will, time will table, how the turntables. The office. So starting out 250 West, very first round here of Supercross. Julien Bomaire was our fastest qualifier by 0.1 seconds. Yes, 0.1 second. He ran a 104.669. Hayden Deegan ran a 104.796. So, not crazy surprised about this, especially with how Julien Bomaire kind of had his breakout rides. Had his breakout rides last year in the SMX playoffs, the final three rounds. Especially when I think it was Charlotte, he got his second place finish, got a podium there, I do believe. And then Deegan. Figured he was going to come in with a lot of speed. Obviously did show that here in qualifying. And the one guy that we are missing here, Levi Kitchen, got real sick, I guess. Skipped the press conferences and press day riding on Friday. Tried to go out for one practice session during the day on Saturday. Wasn't able to do it. And since he did not qualify for Anaheim 1, he was able to pull out of the West Coast last minute, go over to the East Coast. He said he was going to get some blood work done. Haven't quite heard the end results on what happened with him. I'm looking right now to see if we have an update on Levi Kitchen. Nope, nothing yet. Last thing he posted was 2 days ago, so on Saturday, on his Instagram. Hey everyone, obviously the news is already out, and I'll be racing the East Coast now. I'm on my way to get blood work done now. But this was a collective decision between the team and I. At the end of the day, I need to do what's best for my future. See you all in Tampa in a few weeks. So, Yeah, obviously my now my 250 West championship prediction is already dead, sadly, but not surprisingly. So let's make a new one. I'll have to go in and change some things. We'll make a new one by the end of the show. That's what we'll do. We'll give out my new pick at the end of the show to see if I can get that one wrong as well. But back to the guys who are on the West Coast here. Ryder D qualifying third. Real good for him. Staying on the same bike. The Gas-Gas this time, obviously, the whole Rockstar part of it is now in. TLD, Red Bull is gone, but Ryder D and Gas-Gas is the same. Joe Shimoda qualifying fourth. That was real big for Joe Shimoda, I do believe, because the book on him has always been he can't start series fast. He's good in the end when all the pressure's off and he's kind of out of the championship fight. That's when he turns it on, decides to go out there and win a race. But obviously this week we had a different version of Joe Shimoda. I know now he's back in Florida, not in California anymore. And he said the only thing he doesn't like about Florida is the humidity and the bugs. But he said there's not much to do out there. So he is really focused on his riding and training. So that's good news for the Team Honda. HRC, Progressive now. All that. Progressive's got a sponsorship on every flipping bike, I think. Okay. So, Yeah, I think that's probably about it here for the qualifying. Cole Davies making his pro debut, qualified sixth with a 106.218. So shout out Cole Davies. He looked really good in his heat race number one, which we'll jump into now. Grabbed the hole shot in front of Deegan. Deegan made the pass on him, but Cole Davies held with him for a little bit and ended up coming in second. I feel a sneeze coming. This isn't good. Cole Davies ended up coming in second in that with Deegan winning and Joe Shimoda fourth. So you kind of just add that into the heat race. You think, okay, into the main event, excuse me. He gets fourth. In his heat race, you think, all right, well, maybe he's going to be about a 6 to 8, 9 guy in the main event. Wrong. He was not. He was a fast guy in the main event. So, yeah, heat one, nothing too crazy. Evan Ferry got a good start, was up in, I believe, like third and fourth at some point. Drifted back to 18th. So, not the very best for him. And then, in the end, did not qualify. Didn't even start the LCQ. So, I'm not exactly sure what happened there. But, Gavin Towers in the LCQ. Also, his pro debut won the LCQ. Shout out Gavin Towers. On to heat race number two. Jordan Smith on his new Triumph bike goes out, grabs the hole shot on his first start. No off-season races or nothing for him. But goes out, grabs a hole shot with Julian Bomare right there with him. Bomare was able to just kind of slice right through and go get the win with Jordan Smith coming in second and Ryder D in third place. So yeah, once again, really nothing too crazy going on in the heat races. And 250 main had a pretty insane start, kind of, sort of. Joe Shimoda struggles to start the season, struggles to start the races, but he was able to go out there, grab the whole shot with Julien Bomaire. Once again, another good start for him, came around in second. Hayden Deegan, bad start, jumps into the back wheel of, I believe it was Ryder D. Yeah, Ryder D jumped into the back wheel of him, goes down, loses the visor. I think he was, I do believe he was last. Yeah, got up in essentially last place. That sneeze is still right there. This is not good. This is going to irritate the crap out of me if this doesn't go away. Check that. Deegan, not last. Got up in 21st, not 22nd. But he was able to move his way up to 5th. And, yeah, had a kind of a humble interview after the race as well. Didn't go out there and try to blame everybody else. This was, I think it was someone caught up with him, after in the pits. Someone is where I saw someone catch up with him. Dirt Shark went out, caught up with him. Deegan called it just a racing incident, said he got into the back wheel of somebody else, and that's what happened. I'm honestly just pretty amazed that he admitted it to just being a racing incident, and didn't go out there and blame everybody else for it. But while all that nonsense is happening, Joe Shimoda goes out there, wire to wire, wins Anaheim 1. A really calm race for him out front. Julien Bomaire was just doing the same thing. Really calm and race for him in second. And then what did we get? Jordan Smith had a nice pass on Ryder D. DeFrancisco to get the first podium in Supercross for Triumph. This is also after Jordan Smith went down the tough block, came up and grabbed him, pulled him down in the same exact spot where Sexton thought it'd be a good idea to stall his bike. But Jordan Smith was able to get up, recover for third place after making a good pass in the later stages of the race to get the first Supercross podium for Triumph. They did get an outdoor podium. Julien Bomaire with his second place is his first Supercross podium as well. And then Joe Shimoda, round one, win number one, earliest he's ever won a race, that's for darn sure. Where is it? Oh, yeah, Joe Shimoda, also big props to him. Last year, first year on the Honda, so he's got to figure out everything with the new bike. Then this year, there's a new Honda bike, new 250, so he's got to go through another whole off-season of trying to figure things out on the bike, figure out how they work, get more familiar with the team still. And also, while he's doing all that, he moved to Florida. So, crazy off-season for Joe Shimoda. But I guess it all paid out so far in the end, or so far in the beginning, I guess I should say, because, yeah, winning Anaheim 1 is not what I had on my bingo card. I picked Deegan to win Anaheim 1. Obviously, if he doesn't go down, he was moving pretty fast. Although we did have Joe Shimoda with the clear track running the fastest lap of the race with a 105.7. And, yep, the cat now wants out of the room. So I will go do that so we don't get too many more meows. Okay, now that we are back, I feel like he's definitely going to try and push that door back open and come back in here and meow. Also, I'm sure all of you are wondering, yes, that sneeze is still stuck. Where were we? Joe Shimoda. Big improvement for him, obviously. He's going to definitely be in the championship talk and fight now the rest of the season with winning Anaheim 1. Puts himself in a very good position now. Doesn't have to come clawing from being down 20, 25 points at some point in the season. Ideally, now that he's got the early lead, obviously, in the points. So that sets up Joe Shimoda really good. If he just goes out and is consistent for the next, 250's got seven more races for them, which is crazy how short and quick this series is for the 250s. If he can just go out, I'm saying Joe Shimoda gets a top four, six of the next seven rounds. I can definitely see him being the 250 West champion, barring that one being like a 5-8 and not a 22 or something crazy, DNF or something like that. But also shout out Ryder D. I said he got passed at the end, which is true. He did get passed at the end, but real good ride for him. I remember there was a point last year, I think it was one of the SMX final rounds, where he got passed in the same spot of the track, two laps in a row. So you're hoping just that he's got that little bit more growth this year, able to kind of run up front, see a little bit of the pace up front. So hopefully he's going to be able to stick with some of these front runners a little bit longer, continue to make this championship a little bit more interesting, go out there, get a couple podiums, get some seconds, who knows, maybe some stuff falls his way and he goes out there and gets his first win this year. Wouldn't be the most surprising thing in my mind. That is for sure. So, yeah, I think that's really about it. Although if we do go back to the Levi Kitchen being sick and having to go get blood tests done, I did give Deegan his props for being a little bit humbler. Yeah, a little bit more humble. Anyway, you get it. Of a person after the main event, but he was not after his heat race. Throwing some shade over at old Levi Kitchen, saying, "Oh, some of the heavy hitters aren't here tonight. They're ducking it or whatever." So Deegan started the day talking his talk. And then ended his day with no visor on his helmet. So I'm sure that makes some of you guys out there probably pretty happy to see. 450s. Eli Tomac starts the day strong, being the top qualifier. And then Jet's day started also strong, qualifying second. What is it? 2/10 behind Eli. But that was the end of the good times for Jet on Saturday. After qualifying ended, it was just downhill for Jet from there. Sexton qualified third. And then the big shocker here is you got to go all the way down to 14th to find Kickstart Kenny, who did have a Kickstarter, doesn't have the button yet, the electric start, doesn't have that yet. But he qualified all the way down in 14th, 2 seconds off of Eli's pace. He said, Ken Roczen, this is, said, was never really too panicked, felt very confident going into the night show, knowing he'll be okay. He's done it plenty of times. Said he was nice and calm going into heat races and the main events, which also he said that after he got second place in the main event. So it's probably a lot easier to say he was nice and calm going into the heat races, getting second after qualifying 14th, then getting like 7th after qualifying 14th. But obviously looking at the fast lap times here, Sexton, maybe he's got that speed back. Says he's a lot more comfortable on the bike now. He also said just last week they found one of the bigger problems that they were having and found a solution for it. He said you compare that to last year where he was still scared going through the whoops a week before Anaheim won. So obviously Sexton in a lot better headspace now, second year on the bike. And I also found out through the Weed show after Anaheim won that KTM North America, totally separate than all of the bankruptcy and whatnot going on over in Europe. So I guess Julien Baumaire, Chase Sexton, and Aaron Plessinger, they shouldn't have anything too crazy to worry about for this year, money wise. Jumping into 450 heat number one, we had once again the resurgence of Justin Cooper's starts. He's always been able to get a good start at all times, it seems like, indoors, outdoors. Justin Cooper, you know he's going to be most likely top five coming out of that first turn. And heat race number one of the season, he pulled the whole shot with old Kickstart Kenny right behind him. Roczen was able to get around him, kind of flew by him. Started in the whoops going into the sand section, and then Roczen just put it on rails on the outside of the sand section. And it started in the whoops. Roczen had a lot more speed and then just carried it all the way through the sand, was able to get past Justin Cooper pretty quickly into the race with 5 minutes left, and then set sail, went off to win it. And I guess being nice and calm, confident, not worrying about the bad qualifying, paid off pretty good. Maybe Roczen should try to qualify 14th every week. definitely not what he should do. But hey, it's an idea. Next week, if he goes out, qualifies fifth, and ends in eighth place, hey, it's just a suggestion, man. It's all it is. Jet Lawrence, his struggles really started from the first gate drop here in this heat race. Got a bad start, was outside a transfer position for a good portion of this race. I mean, when Roczen made the pass for the lead with 5 minutes in 6, 7, 8 seconds left, Jet was down in 11th place. So he was outside of a transfer position for a little bit, but was able to make his way up to fifth. Definitely not something you would ever really expect to see, especially with how good of a starter him and his brother have both been. Just goes out, gets a bad start, wasn't able to work his way up through the field very quickly or effectively in his heat race and in the main event, which obviously we'll get to. But Roczen, yeah, goes out, wins heat number one. And then heat number two, Sexton goes out, grabs the whole shot, just kind of ran away with it, really. But we did have Barcia, Hunta, and Eli battling until the very end. They all crossed the line within maybe half a second of each other. That's how close them three were. Jorge Prado with a solid P2 in his heat race. And then after said that the P2 in the heat was not comparable, I think, was the word that was used. I can't quite remember where I saw it. But yeah, he said wasn't quite the same thing going from second in his heat race to then I don't even remember exactly right now in the main event. But again, still learning. First full season, he says he's a lot more comfortable going into this year, knowing he will be here for the entire season. Last year, he was hoping to just experience it, not get hurt, because he did have to go back and defend his MXGP title, which he then did go on to do. Aaron Plessinger, very quiet night all around. Kind of surprising based on how he ended outdoors last year. I know he got hurt towards the end of Supercross last year, but although I guess looking at his SMX playoff rounds, he went 8-8-4. So I don't know, maybe he's just got something else he's got to figure out on his Supercross setup. Obviously, it's not working too hot for him. He did get his win last year in San Diego, where the gang is headed next week. So we'll see if old AP can turn it around after finishing ninth in the main event. This week. That totally blanked my mind. So yeah, getting to the main event. It was crazy. Everybody was hitting bars, getting tangled up. Jet and Jason Anderson were lined up right next to each other. As soon as the gate dropped, they were already all tangled up. Jet goes into the tough blocks, goes into over the tough blocks in the first turn, gets stuck there for quite a bit of time. Started dragging one along with him. Anderson said he had some spokes break, which then I found out from Ryan Villopoto that Cowie zip ties the spokes on. Not exactly sure how they do it, but I guess they do it somehow for reasons like that, because Anderson said he had spokes break in there, and he could just see him flying around, which I don't understand how they zip tie it on there, and if they're zip tied on and break, how they don't come off, but I'm sure they came off at some point. But Prado grabbed the whole shot. As soon as he, the next series of events all happened in about equal time. Prado gets the whole shot. Tomac gets the lead. And then Tomac goes down in the second turn. And then we have a cat back in here, which might mean some more meowing. Tomac got, he got ran over pretty good by, Chase Sexton right over his, lower region, below the belt region. So, obviously Tomac was able to get up, finish, come back and fight, finish to fifth. And then we turn it over to Jet Lawrence, who also had a struggles early in the race. He was only able to come back to 12th place. Hunter Lawrence, 11th. So the Lawrence boys, obviously, all the reports of them not being very comfortable on the bike for Supercross are true. Bad starts for both of them. Bad finishes for both of them. Not a typical Lawrence day for either one. Neither one really able to effectively move through the pack. So it's just going to be real interesting to see how they go about getting back to 2024 speed, starts, all that, because obviously, we saw the starts were still there on this new bike outdoors for Hunter. But the starts weren't there Saturday night. And the effectiveness and moving through the pack were also not there Saturday night for him. Sexton made the pass on Anderson, who Anderson got the lead from the Eli tip over. Sexton made the pass, sailed away. Like I mentioned earlier, he thought it would be, hey, let's make this race a little bit more interesting. Let's stall the bike. Not good. Not a good idea. Had Ken Roczen then breathing down his neck once again, but was then able to sail away once again for a win, winning A1 for the first time. Chase Sexton, my prediction was wrong once again. I predicted Jet. I had no reason not to, even though I knew all the stuff about them not being comfortable. I said screw it, let's pick them anyway and let's lose it. Ken Roczen second, Jason Anderson third. Real interesting words from Ken Roczen on the podium, where he said he was thinking how second place would just be really good spot for him to finish. He said he's won Anaheim 1 many times. Feels like second would just be better for that night. I don't really know how that makes too much sense, because obviously winning means more points. more money. But hey, that's just what he said. And he did it. And now I got to the cat's back. Hang on. All right, we're back again. Part three of this episode. Sneeze has gone away. It's no longer there. The end of that saga is, it's now the end. But Ken Roczen, with those interesting words, obviously he was able to figure it all out in the end. Once again, qualifying 14th wasn't the biggest deal, I guess. But not ideal. So some of the big takeaways from this race for the 450s. Dylan Ferrandis missed the main event in total. Talked about on the preview show how I guess he got confused or whatnot about how his bike would be last year. Thought he would figure it out this year. Was not able to do that. Malcolm Stewart, who did have to go through the LCQ, though, after taking a big crash in his heat race, was able to qualify. Dylan Ferrandis got 11th in heat race number one. LCQ didn't finish. I don't exactly remember what happened. I don't remember if he crashed or what the heck happened. But, Malcolm Stewart, second in the LCQ. But back to the other big takeaways. I did forget to mention this on last week's show, but there are five former Supercross champions on the gate for 450 in the 450 class this year. Obviously, you got Jet last year, Chase, Eli, Cooper Webb, and Jason Anderson. The seems to be constantly forgot about champion. Back in 2018, he was the first one out of that group of five to win his championship. That's just insane. And then you throw guys like Ken Roczen in there who can mess around and win a race. Barcia, Justin Cooper, Plessinger, if he can get another mutter, I guess. Maybe that might be the only way he can win a race. But, then Hunter Lawrence, obviously you got to think the Lawrence boys are going to figure it out in these next coming weeks. And then the new face of Jorge Prado, who finished 14th this year at Anaheim 1. What else we got? Chase Sexton lowered his hole shot device. And because he said there is something with how the KTM, the neck on the KTM is, where his hands were sitting higher on the start. And just going into last year, he could tell it was different, but he couldn't tell if it was a good different or a bad different. And by time he figured it out which one it was, obviously it was a bad different because his starts stunk last year. It was just too late. So he lowered his hole shot device to bring his hands down a little bit more to get him in a closer spot that they were on his Honda in, especially for, I mean, obviously the whole time he was there, but especially 23 when he won that championship, and then 23 outdoors when he went on to battle with Eli all summer long. He also has a new seat. Not sure higher, lower, if they shaved foam off, what they did with the new seat. He didn't say. He did just say he has a new seat now. Yeah, I think that's about it. One more, maybe not a big takeaway, but maybe a little bit bolder of a prediction. After finishing 14th in Anaheim 1, Jorge Prado, he's going to get a podium by the end of the year. Also now seeing this, thankfully, he finished one spot in front of Vince Freese, so hopefully he had enough room going into that last turn. He didn't have to worry about getting punted into the bleachers. Shout out Vince. On to San Diego. Looked at the weather. It's going to be sunny all week. Not going to have to worry about any rain, any of the dirt getting wet. Track looks pretty cool. Conventional fold gate, not a split start. Left-hand turn into a short little rhythm section. Just classic football, although I think this is technically a soccer stadium. So a little bit worse because that's a worse sport than football. Nice sand section. Goes back and forth across the start a couple times. I think it's going to be real good. How many 180s we got here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Right. 4, 5, 6 if you include the sand corner. So, obviously, hopefully that sets up for a lot of good passing opportunities. I felt like there wasn't a whole lot of passing going on at Anaheim 1. Maybe throwing in a couple more bowl corners will help that out for us. So now it is everybody's favorite prediction time. So we will do race predictions, 250s first. I think it's going to be Julien Bomaire to get the win in San Diego. 450s. I gotta give me Cooper Webb. That's what I'm thinking. I think Julien Bomaire and Cooper Webb. I'm now going to see if DraftKings has Supercross back up. Take a look at what they got, because I was looking at it on Saturday, and then when all the races started, they took it down. Supercross is up. Jet Lawrence is the favorite, followed by Tomac, Sexton, and then my pick of Cooper Webb. So let's see. $10 on Cooper Webb would win $90. Well, look at there. Not going to do that because I'm 0 for everything, pretty much. And I think you can only do 450s so far. I probably should have looked when I had it open. So we're going to go take a peek at that again. While we're doing that, yes, it is just 450s. You can do round right now, round two, and championship is up. Also, get a cool rider versus rider head-to-head betting. Talking Moto. Get it? Talking 250 championship. Now I got to make a new prediction. I mean, you can call it recency biased. If I were to pick Joe Shimoda, you could call it just kind of following everybody else. If I took Hayden Deegan, honestly, I feel Joe Shimoda had showed something bigger than just a one race thing with going out there and winning Anaheim 1. I see no reason for that to stop. I see no reason for Hayden Deegan being on the ground to stop. He's had his quite a few troubles, Supercross, hitting the deck. Yeah, I think that's going to cost him again. I think that was part of my reason when I picked Kitchen to begin with. It stays a part of my reason now that I am picking Joe Shimoda. So, give me Joe Shimoda as my new 250 West prediction. Next week, though, give me Julien Bomaire. Give me Cooper Webb. And give me some questions on X. Talking underscore Moto. Would love to answer some questions. Yeah, that's it. Talking underscore Moto on X. Follow, retweet, like, comment, all the good stuff. And we will be back next week talking San Diego. Stay classy, San Diego. Is that how he said it? I don't remember. San Diego, I think. Stay classy, San Diego. See ya.